Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone on today's Euralo monthly call on Tuesday, the 18th of September. We have Wolf Ludwig, Siranush Vardanyan, Adela Dansiu, Narin Kachatrian, Oksana Priotko, Rudy Vansnik, Bill Drake, Urielan Spiro, Sandra Hoferichter, Olivier Crépin-Leblanc. We have apologies noted from Christopher Wilkinson. On staff today we have Sylvia Vivanco, Matt Ashtiani, Heidi Ulrich, and myself, Gisela Gruber. If I could also please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. And if you are on the audio bridge, as well as on the Adobe Connect, please do remember to mute the speakers of your computer. Thank you. Over to you, Wolf.
Okay, thanks a lot, Gisela, for the roll call of today's call participants and apologies. I also remember Christopher, who apologized around lunchtime that he will be on the plane. But I am pleased to welcome all the others on our today's monthly call. And most probably you have seen our new agenda for our today's call. And fortunately, again, I today had no difficulties to get into the Adobe Connect room, what makes sharing of a meeting much easier than the last time. Let's start with our today's agenda. What is beside the roll call, the review of the action items from the from our last meeting? I have difficulties with to set up the link for the action items, and unfortunately it's not updated. It's still the action items of the 17th July 2007, but I figured it out by myself. Yes, I have the right one now, which is from the 21st of August 2012. We only had one action item staff to look into, a way to suggest to all work groups that a redlined version can be published. This was an action item following certain discussion procedures of at large working groups, and I am sure that staff will follow up on this issue over the next weeks, which was not which not only has relevance for us, for Euralo, but for other RALOs as well, and for the whole at large community. If there are no questions for the review of the action items from our last call, let me go over to the third agenda item 3, briefing on current ALEC consultations and initiatives. You can see an overview of the public comments which are due, and as usual, this is a floor for Olivier to give us some further updates and elaborations. Please, Olivier, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Wolf. It's Olivier for the transcripts. And can you hear me?
Yes, clearly.
Okay,
go ahead.
Thank you, Wolf. Thank you. It's Olivier here. So we are just going to go through the
Well, we had quite a few recently approved ALAC statements, but I thought we would just go through the statements currently being voted on or reviewed by the ALAC. The first one is the ESAC report on dotless domain. These are domain names which don't have a dot. So let's say if let's take a name Wolf, for example, then we would have a domain name just with Wolf. No dot, no nothing. And that's a matter of concern for on a technical basis, in that some browsers don't actually allow for this to happen. There's just some kind of inadequacy. And so we submitted a comment on this supporting the report from the ESAC. The next one was the ALAC statement on the URS status, and the ALAC is also currently voting on this. And the question here was to do with the URS is uniform. All these acronyms. The URS is a system so as to be able to have a list for trademark owners, and it's not a list, but it's a kind of system when there is a problem with trademarks and top-level domain names. It's called Uniform Rapid Suspension. It's supposed to be able to suspend, I guess, a domain name as soon as the trademark owner files a URS case. It's a little expensive in there, as you will notice, on the actual recommendation. And so there is a statement, which was a very short statement, which was drafted by the ALAC, and that's for the URS to actually move forward and be available for the launch of the new GTLDs. At the moment, it appears that the board has not done anything recently. So the next one is the APRALO statement on prioritization of IDN GTLD applications in the new GTLD program. That's not something which URALO should be concerned about. There has already been a statement on the prioritization of IDN GTLD applications done by the ALAC. This is just another statement specifically by the region which has the most number of IDN GTLD applications, and that's the Asia-Pacific region. The next is the draft recommendations overall policy for the selection of IDN CCTLD strings. Now, you might know we have an IDN, so Internationalized Domain Name Working Group in the ALAC, and Edmund Chung is both our IDN liaison, but he's also the chair of that working group. So we have asked the working group, and we should be receiving an answer soon. We, as in the ALAC, should be receiving an answer soon from that working group whether whether there needs to be a statement on this. Now, on the current open policy forums, there is a locking of a domain name subject to UDRP proceedings. Comment period closes on the 15th of August, which was a little, which was a while ago already. I do not think that we have a something going on about that at the moment, as far as I know. Just click on it. I'm not quite sure of the update on this. Yeah, the ALAC hasn't thought of, well, we basically asked our GNSO liaison, Alan Greenberg, to tell us about this, whether there was a requirement for the ALAC to issue a statement, and it appears that there was not a need for that. And that's it for the current policy, open policy forums. I'm open to questions, of course.
Are there any questions? I see no hand raised. Comments? Remarks? I think you have to be clear again indefinitely, Olivier. And I cannot notice any hand raised for questions or comments.
just before we close,
we
move on to the next thing. It's Olivier again. Just before we move on, I just wanted to remind everyone that we have a very open policy with regards to our statements. So it doesn't just need to be ALAC members who believe that a statement needs to be issued on a public comment period. Any member of an ALS is able to raise the fact that there needs to be a statement drafted on something, this is something which can then go through the RALO and over to the ALAC, and the ALAC can consider it, and a statement can move forward. Just as an example, we had the ESSAC report on the .NET domains, for example. It was actually LACRALO that believed that there was a need, or some members in LACRALO believed that there was a need for a statement on that, and so they started up with having a first draft written, and the process took it forward from there. So if you have some points you need to raise from within the region public policy and on policy development, then start the discussion in URALO, and that will make it up to the ALAC, and it can result in a statement. That's all I needed to add. Thank you both.
Thanks a lot, Olivier. I particularly would like to underline your last remark. If there would be any comment or any remark, any idea, any initiative, this for me, for the time being, is a kind of wishful thinking. I would be glad if we would have this basis or community input at the moment. What we didn't had very often, to be honest, but what we do not have particularly at the moment, but I hope that at one stage again we will have a mobilization in our community, responses to particular consultation issues, etc., and comments from our community, but we still have to work on this in the next future. If there, this is, was a general remark and comment, if there are no questions related to your presentation, Olivier, I see no hands raised. Therefore, let me suggest to continue with our next agenda item. What is point four? What is just for information, results from URALO nomination to the NOMCOM. As some of you who have been at our last call may recall that we had a short briefing on the ongoing procedure at our August call, and we just updated the state of our regional nomination, what was Veronica Cretu from Moldavia at the time. And in the time between our nomination, our suggestion was confirmed, was approved by ALEC. And now we can officially more or less inform what we did via the list already, that Veronica Cretu is following on Jure Lanzipuro, our previous NOMCOM delegate, who has done an excellent work over the last two terms. And now we have Veronica in this function for the next period in between 2012 and 2013. And Veronica responded, and I'm looking forward to a great representation from her side into NOMCOM. If there are no questions, yes, I see Juris hand raised. Juri, you have the floor, please.
Yeah, thank you. It's Juri Lansipura for the transcript record. Thank you, Wolf. I just wanted to congratulate Veronica once more, even though she's not probably on this call, and to say that on the list of the NOMCOM 2012, there's been quite a lot of discussion about how the NOMCOM 2012 could transmit the lessons it learned during its work to the next NOMCOM, and there's been talk about a joint meeting of these NOMCOMs in Toronto. And since I'll be in Toronto, for which I really thank very much Wolf and Olivier, I'm able to pass some of that legacy to my successor. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot for this remark or comment. I can only fully support, and I would like to have this mentioned in our today's meeting minutes, that we once again congratulate Veronica for her approval by Alec being our next NOMCOM delegate. And at this opportunity, I would like to congratulate Cyrenush as well, who was elected once again by AP RALO, and Cyrenush, who is a fellow member of AP RALO and URALO as well. She has participated in many of our monthly calls, and I'm always pleased to have her among us. And my congratulations go to Cyrenush as well. And I think we have two good ladies, Cyrenush, representing AP RALO, Veronica, URALO, in the NOMCOM, and I think it's a great idea to have some kind of handover briefing from previous NOMCOM members to incoming NOMCOM members in Toronto. And this is one good idea and way to assure some kind of continuity of procedures and ideas. I'm very pleased about this development, and I think it's in good hands now. I see some more approvals on the Adobe Connect from Olivier and Sebastian. And if there are no questions raised regarding our agenda item 4 on latest results regarding the NOMCOM, the recent NOMCOM nominations, let me go on in our today's agenda to agenda item 5. What is an update on the ICANN Academy procedure in Toronto? Some of you, as I know, are members of the ICANN Academy working group, which is chaired by Sandra. And there have been a lot of discussions over the last weeks on the working group list. And I must admit, seeing the variety and number of comments over the last 3 to 4 weeks, I partly lost a little bit the overview, but I know that Sandra, as chair of this working group, followed it closely, and she supervised the process and coordinated everything with ICANN staff, And I think she's the only one at the moment who can give us a solid update on the discussion procedure and what will be finally happen at the next ICANN meeting in a couple of weeks in Toronto. Sandra, you have the floor, please.
Thank you, Wolf. It's Sandra Hoferichter speaking for the transcript. Well, many of you are on this ICANN Academy working, so you might know already that we had to postpone the project, the pilot project for Toronto. The reason came not by surprise, as the discussion just started, SOAC-wise, so SOAC-wise means between SOs and ACs in ICANN. It turned out that there are different expectations, different needs, different which have to be somehow accommodated. And so it was just too early to get a broad consensus to do the pilot project the way Phyllis and I were proposing. No doubt, the proposal was meant that way, that it was a draft proposal to build upon and to have more input from the community, but on such a short notice it was not possible to start from the scratch and build consensus on every single item. So we had to postpone the pilot project instead. We could get a 3-hour meeting thanks to Gisela, Gisela also, and Heidi, who tried really hard to accommodate this in the already written schedule in for the ICANN meeting Toronto. So we have now a 3-hour meeting on Wednesday the 17th from 7 to the 10 exactly. And the main issue will probably be to discuss the target groups, to discuss the needs of the target groups, to discuss possible learning goals, and if we are really good, we will also be able to discuss the methodology and be able to set up a drafting team, which might then continue to work after Toronto, which might then be adopted by the working group and which might then feed into a pilot project for Beijing. But this is not written in stone yet, my proposal, my course of action. And I think I have consensus on this course of action now, where I'm really happy about this. And, well, let's see how far we can get. Everything remains open and very exciting. That's from my side.
Okay, thanks a lot, Sandra, for this briefing. Are there any direct questions to Sandra's presentation? I see Olivier's hand raised. Please, Olivier, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Wolf. It's Olivier for the transcript record. I just wanted to congratulate Sandra on her handling of the multi-stakeholder working group that she's now running, which I think is pretty good and runs very, I wouldn't say smoothly, but very well in the way that she is able to steer a group of very, very different people in ICANN, of very senior people in the different constituencies that seem to come to consensus. And that's the first time that Sandra is holding such a responsibility in ICANN, and I think it's really, really great to have seen her grow into the leader that she is today. So that's one thing. I just have one question for Sandra, which is, are you enjoying yourself?
Sandra?
It's Sandra speaking, Sandra speaking for the transcript. So first of all, thank you very much for your praise, which is always good to have the ALAC chair supporting what I'm doing. And surprisingly, yes, I feel very comfortable in this position. It's a great challenge. I learn a lot about ICANN, a lot about myself. I can somehow test myself. I mean, I'm just in such a multi-stakeholder international environment. but it's always good to see how we can take every single little step, and this keeps me lucky. So yes, I do enjoy.
Well, Sandra, it's Olivier here again. I really look forward to the meeting that will take place in Toronto, and I think everyone in at large is looking forward to that, since it's this ICANN Academy and the work of capacity building and all of this is something that we're very, very eager on in this community. So thanks for leading this. Back to you, Wolf.
Okay, thanks a lot, Olivier, for this additional comment. And I just would like to underline what Olivier said before. I really had some admiration for Sandra for the diplomacy and the fine-tuning and the feeling, etc., how she conducted the working group in the most difficult process, as far as I could perceive, over the last couple of weeks. It was another example how a very good idea what we had from the at-large community. We developed a proper project proposal with a lot of very important inputs, but then we had to go to other constituencies, and once you are faced with a variety of the whole ICANN community, there are a lot of other conflicting interests coming in, and consensus building at this level is far more difficult than consensus building and finding in our own community. And I really have seen that Sandra, in her very special way, managed to bring it all together again and again, and thanks to staff support, etc. And okay, we are not in the pilot moment in Toronto as we wished to be some months ago, but I think the whole project and process will be more substantiated afterwards. And once Sandra will find the all communities, the inter-community approval for the project, then I think it will be a new step in the ICANN history. And I'm still optimistic, and I'm still looking forward that Sandra will do it in her best way. Thanks a lot again from my part. If there are no questions for this agenda item, let me go over to the next one. I've seen on the Adobe Connect in between that Lutz has joined our call in between, and it's a pleasure for me to welcome Lutz, and it's a long time we haven't seen him, but it's always good to have him back, and thanks for being here tonight, Lutz. The next agenda item is 6 Uralo representation in ALEC working groups. We discussed this issue not in detail, but we mentioned it at our last monthly call in August. In the time between, Rudi in a direct mail informed me and Olivier about his resignation from working groups. He has been involved over a longer period of time, and Rudi actually is the most active Uralo representative who has been involved, to my counting, in 7 different working groups. What is an exemplary case. Unfortunately, from the rest of our members, there was not too much representation. The other ones I have on my list. This is a list which was prepared by Rudy for our last call. And at the moment, the highest participation we after Rudy we have from Olivier, who is also involved in various working groups, and from Jure. From the rest, I must admit, I'm at the moment only involved in one working group, which is chaired by Sandra, what is ICANN Academy working group. But besides this, I clearly announce repeatedly, besides the current chair function, I do not have many more capacities to be involved in other working groups. And after Rudy's resignation, I think this is an urgent issue to be discussed. How we can organize a sort of replacement for Rudy's representation in the working groups. As I have the list in front of me, I can put this into a PDF document afterwards to or on the workspace if you want, that we can open up a sign-in procedure for replacements for the working groups in question. Let me just read them down. We have the new GTLD working group. To my memory, there is a second or even third member. There is Adela in this working group. And to my memory, there was Jure in this working group. I'm not sure about Jure, but about Adela, I'm sure.
Well, this is Yrjö.
Yes,
Yrjö Länsipuro from for the transcript record. I'm after Rudy. I'm actually a member of the new GTL review group, which is different from the working group. Thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot for this hint. I was also thinking about. I mixed it up a little bit. I was thinking about the review working group and not the working group. But Rudy has raised his hand, and Rudy has the floor, please.
Thank you, Wolf, Rudy Vansnik, for the transcript. I would like to emphasize that in some working groups, Sandra is also participating, so it's not just me being very active. Sandra has been quite active in a few working groups too. The reason why I'm resigning, for those who haven't seen the mail, my decision has been taken after a long discussion with a few people. I'm withdrawing as a Euro participant in the working group, but I will stay in the working group as an individual member. Due to the fact that there is not enough support coming from our Euralo members, it is my decision that I cannot stand up anymore for Euralo, but I can stand up for myself, being in my capacity as a at-large structure representative. It's a pity that I had to take that decision. But I also have my professional work to do, and when I combine it, well, it is a task to try to follow all the working groups. So if no one else is stepping up, well, it's a pity, but I will not continue for the moment as a Euralo representative. Let that be clear. It's with some heart feeling in my heart that I have to take this decision, but it seems it's the only way to convince Euralo members that it's not always the nice stuff to go somewhere, but also to be active overnight in working groups and to discuss on mailing lists the work we have to accomplish as at large numbers. Thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot, Rudy, for your additional explanations and comments. And first of all, once again, let me thank you for all the various working groups you have covered over the last years on behalf of Euralo, what was a tremendous work, and it will leave some kind of gap when you leave now being labeled as an official Euralo member. But let me join in your call. I entirely agree with you in your assessment that the sharing of responsibilities is still bundled on not many shoulders. If I have a look on the list of Euralo board members, we have almost 8. And only a minority of those board members listed are participating proactively in various levels, and therefore we really have to improve our performance and our representation, that it's not only concentrated on a few people, but it's shared by some others more. Spontaneously, you mentioned before that Sandra is also in some of the working groups you have been in and you were listed for. Spontaneously, I can offer to take over Euralo representation in the working group or in the subcommittee on finance and budget. I offered this some time before. If there is a need, I'm ready and prepared to step in. But there is still the working group on metrics, the working group registrants' rights and responsibilities. There you have worked for a long period of time in cooperation with Gus Boone and many other people. We are not probably represented in this rather new working group. There is still one on rules of procedure, working group, and naming issues, a task force. I think having listed this one, we have them all together, and as suggested, let me suggest to make a mailing after this call, first on the Euralo list and then prepare a call for the accomplishment on the workspace. Anybody on this call or in our community who is ready to step in to fill up the Euralo open space in this working group will be highly welcome. Are there any comments, questions at this point? Questions? Suggestions? I think it's the most pragmatic way to handle this this issue. And I'm looking forward to some more feedbacks or responses or candidates who are willing to step in and taking over the open spaces. Okay, thanks a lot. If there are no further questions regarding this agenda item 6, Euralo representation in ALEC working groups, let me go over to agenda item 7, what is our usual or standing item,
Uralo Planning 2012 continued discussion. What is still in process is the discussion and the procedure on how to deal with non-responsive members. We discussed this over the last weeks on the Uralo list. There were some inputs from Roberto Gaetano and some responses from my side. And it was first of all a question of definition, whether we call them non-active or non-responsive. And I refuse to call them non-active for a variety of good reasons, I think. And I think we brought it down to the term non-responsive members. And non-responsive members means ALSs who have not responded to anything over more than 2 years on any Uralo initiative or mobilization or voting, etc. And I think this is much more problematic, members who haven't had any feedback or any involvement for more than 2 years, then we really have to raise serious questions about their interest or commitment to the ICANN or the Uralo cause. And I've made some proposals. I circulated them via the list, etc., how to proceed with these members, to send them a final reminder, gives them a chance to respond to a final reminder, and if they respond, then we can negotiate or rediscuss the reasons why they haven't participated over the last years. There may be good reasons, etc., change in the organization, change of persons in charge, etc. We can rediscuss everything, but in case there will not be any further response on the final reminder, then I would like to suggest, and we have three or four candidates on our list so far, then I would suggest to apply at ELEC for a decertification of these members, because I do not see anything, any sense having dead ducks on our member list. What is presently 32 members, which is not too bad compared to others. But once we do our outreach initiatives, at any opportunity we can to find new members, we have to make sure that our inreach is more or less properly working. And inreach, the basic criteria for inreach is to keep existing members involved, and once we cannot get any response or any contact with an existing members for more than 2 years, then I really think it's time, or it may be justified, to ask for decertification, to have a kind of truce regarding our membership, because I think it's also a question in the longer sense of credibility. Are there further comments to this point, to this agenda item? We have repeatedly discussed this problem, this issue during secretariat's meeting, etc. And I think now it's time to act. But I've seen Euro's hand raised in the Adobe Connect, and Euro, you have the floor, please.
Thank you. Thank you, Wolf, Yuri Lansipura, for the transcript record. Just briefly, I want to support your approach, because it's really, you know, to have these, as you said, dead ducks, we should not keep them. We should take them down. Thank you.
thanks a lot for your comment and support. I must admit, at the beginning, I was quite hesitant to follow up on such more or less a strict approach or procedure. But I think in two cases, it's extremely justified. It's the Slovenian consumer organizations. Next one is KEPCA in Greece. They are long-term members at Euralo from the years. They were among the first wave in 2007. And it's only two members. After certification, we never ever had one single feedback. When we invited for the first General Assembly 2008 in Paris, there was a high level of response. The vast majority of members responded and were present at the first General Assembly in Paris. The second opportunity of proof was for the At-Large Summit in Mexico. And these two organization or members never ever responded. I never had a personal over the years contact with. I do not even know who is in charge, etc. And I also know that Heidi, by her channels, tried to contact them in Slovenia, in Ljubljana, and in Greece. And it makes no sense having this kind of members still listed among us. The two others on the list is Internet.org in Switzerland, which is an organization I know quite well. I know the person in charge who always delegated the Euralo follow-up to his collaborators, with one exception who never did it over a longer period of time. But this is more than 2 years again, and since Mexico, they have never been involved again in anything, and therefore it's a reason to put them on our list as well. And the third one is Terre des Femmes in Germany. Some of you may recall Heike Jensen, who was rather active at the very beginning. She was in Paris, she was in Mexico, and she has followed up afterwards until about 1.5 years ago, and I remember it's now 1 year Heike got unsubscribed from the mailing list. And I think the element of getting unsubscribed from our mailing list is a sort of serious proof that there is no interest in following up on this. And I tried by direct and personal channels in Germany to recontact Heike again. I didn't succeed, and at the moment it will be even difficult to address a final call or a final reminder asking them for a statement, and I think it's an appropriate procedure. Are there any further questions regarding this agenda item, how to deal with, yes, Heidi, I have just been informed that you raised your hand, please. Heidi, you have the floor.
Thank you, Wolf. This is Heidi. Wolf, I didn't quite understand the process, the next steps. Did you say that you would write to them one last time, letting them know that if they don't get in contact with you, that you will be removing them as an ALS?
Yes, this is I take it more or less as approved over the discussions we had in the secretariat meeting for almost 2 years, and now on the regional level for quite a long time. I think we have a sort of agreement that whether we like it or not, it's a necessity to start with a procedure. And my suggestion would be
the candidates, the ALS is concerned, I know, Terdefarm and Internet Org. I can take up the initiative myself and try, make a last effort to contact them and ask them for explanation, etc., reminding them if you do not respond, we unfortunately need ALEC for desertification to have it clear. In the other two cases, Slovenian Consumer Org and Kepka Greece, I do not even have an address of contact.
Yeah, well, I have those because, again, they were in contact with us about a year, or maybe now 2 years ago for the consumer, the proposed consumer constituency. So and they did respond, and we had calls with them.
Oh, you have contacts with them?
Yes, about 2 years ago. It was for the purpose of the consumer, the proposed consumer's constituency.
I remember, yes. So
and another point, I spoke with both of the representatives about 2 years ago personally in Brussels. There was a consumer, an EU consumer event with the internet, related to the internet, and I was there, participated in the meeting, and had extensive conversations, at least with Breda, who is the person who is the head of the consumers organization in Ljubljana.
Yes. Okay, so let's be pragmatic in the given case, as you said. I think it would be the most reasonable if you follow up on your contact you have with them, asking them on behalf of Euralo whether they are interested in any new consumer constituency or whether they are still interested in Euralo, what I doubt, but they need to express their opinion within 4 to 6 weeks to say, yes, we would like to be still listed, or whether we would like to focus on a consumer constituency, but we need some kind of response or declaration from them. And
okay.
I would suggest to hand over the two candidates, Kepka and the Slovenians, to you, and I will follow up with Internet Org because I know the guy in charge. I personally know him quite well since many years, and I would also follow up with Terdefarm.
Okay.
Take this for the action item.
Perfect. But I do note, and perhaps Olivier would like to comment on it, I'm going to put some text into the chat. This is directly from the bylaws, and that is from the ICANN bylaws section, let's see, I think it's 11, the section that deals with ALAC at large and ALAC, and you'll see that, that there is text on how to, regarding decisions on certifying or decertifying at-large structures. So you'll see that it's actually related to the ALAC as well as to the board. So it's not just a decision that Euralo can make.
Yes.
Or any RALO, for that matter.
But Heidi, I think I've made this clear again and again, that we only can suggest a decertification. We are not in charge of any. We can suggest, we can approve an application, etc. Finally, it's ALEC who is certifying, and it's the only instance who can decertify any member, etc. And therefore, it can be just considered as a demand from Euralo to ALEC to consider a decertification. Afterwards, it's up on ALEC to take a decision. But I think it's a long-lasting problem since quite a long time. And I, from our side, think there should be once an initiative in this direction, and I'm ready to start such an initiative. according to our discussions and what Alec is doing after that visit. It's not our responsibility anymore. If Alec says no, we leave it as it is, etc., then I can say, okay, we are not happy with the situation, but the final decision is at the Alec level. Can we agree on this? But I see Rudy's hand raised, and Rudy, you have the floor.
Thank you, Wolf, Rudy Vanson, for the transcript. I was going to come to that point too, but in any way, I think it's the RALO that has the right, first of all, to bring up a decertification of an ALS when they are not active or not responsive anymore. I would suggest that we bring this up maybe in the next point, the next call, as an agenda point, that we will confirm by the Urolo board that we want this, these two ALSs to be decertified. In some cases, having some ALSs being a member of could obstruct in having others being on. I don't think I have to illustrate the cases, but that can happen. On the other hand, I think it's really important to know also the reasons why other ALSs are less responsive or less active in what we are asked to do. So it's not only the two or three that are really not responsive at all, but also looking at those who don't bring people to the working groups, don't bring people to discussions, so that we are really a group of 30 structures discussing altogether, and not a group of 5 to 10 people that are representing Europe in this discussion. With regards to consumer organizations, I know that in Europe it's not easy to let them understand what our tasks are, what the meaning of all the work we are doing is. Maybe this will be clarified more and more when we are doing a bit more outreach. That was just my comment for this point.
Okay, thanks a lot, Rudy, for this very valid comment. Mentioning the consumer orgs, one of the last points, and one of the points of Heidi before. By the way, in the context, it's more than 1.5 years. I think it was around the ICANN meeting in Nairobi. There was a strong discussion how to get outreach to consumer orgs in Europe, in other parts of the world. And I, at the time, I tried to contact Swiss consumer organizations, the Swiss Alemannic and Francophone consumer orgs we have in the country, which are rather well known. I partly knew the people, etc. I contacted them, wanted to arrange a meeting and discuss the issue. I wrote them a long letter telling them that for consumers, e-commerce, etc., and how they deal with online business, etc., is getting more and more difficult, and there are more and more abuses, etc. And according to their website, there is almost nothing on consultation in this respect, and unfortunately the responses from their side was on my emails zero, on my phone calls I never bumped into the right person, and they told me yes, we will talk it internally and then we will call you again, etc. Briefly, I never got any response, and I simply realized some of the consumer orgs are not have not arrived in the internet age at the time. This is particularly the situation in Switzerland. I have similar experience with the Digitale Allmend, one national network I'm involved, etc. So I gave up with consumer organizations, and I really came to the conclusion it's not worth the time investment, etc., to make them convinced. Maybe they will understand by themselves. The second part of your remark, Rudy, was that's exactly what why I made the distinction between non-responsive and the so-called non-active term. We have the problem with various other ALSs in on our list. In some of the other cases, I know the circumstances. I know about the changement of personnel. I know about capacity problems. But in principle, I know that they are following up the discussions on the list, even in a passive manner. And I see no urgency or emergency to go behind these members who may be in a difficult phase in regard of their working priorities. But as long as I know that they still exist and that they are still active on the ground. But from KEPKA and Slovenian consumer organization, since I am in charge, and this is almost 5 years, I never ever had any sign. I never had any response on any email. And this is a situation what I consider unacceptable over such a long period of time. And I think with such exemplary cases, it would be an opportunity to start, to give them an opportunity to respond. I do not care whether they respond to Heidi, and if they don't respond to me, it's strange, but okay. But at least I once need something in my hand or in front of my eyes, an explanation why they couldn't, etc. But one reaction is needed. Otherwise, I think our suggestion to ask for decertification is the right way and would be justified. But this is my personal opinion. I put it on paper. I even worked out a proper procedure over 7 steps, what gives anybody a huge chance to get re-involved, etc., to respond. But if there is simply nothing, then I think there is also a certain justification from our side to say, no, I do not want to deal with members I have never heard over the last 5 years. This is just my for the moment, my final remark regarding this issue. This is not the end of the discussion. Anybody else can tell me, well, listen, there might be a better way. I've seen Olivier had raised his hand before. Maybe Olivier has another point of view. Olivier, if you want, you can still comment on this or let us know your idea, your opinion about this. But I simply do not want to go on in endless discussions as we did at the Secretariat's meeting over a longer period of time, and there is never a conclusion taken, and there is never any consequence, etc. This is getting tiring over the time, and I simply think it makes no sense. Comments, remarks, questions? Another pending next step on our under our agenda item 7, in the planning 2012, what will be most probably continued agenda item for the next year is the next steps to organize individual members. We finally, for the Belgrade GA 2011, we modified our bylaws by allowing participation of individual members, even including a voting right. So the first preparatory steps from our side were taken, and we decided that individual members can create their own specific ALS covering all of Europe, what would be the home of the individual members, and then they can discuss and decide who will represent individual members at Euralo, including consultations and votings. But what I clearly said in Belgrade already, I'm not in a position, I don't have the time to draft bylaws for them, etc. I'm representing an ALS, and if the individuals want to have more impact, including voting rights on the Euralo level, they have to get together and to draft their bylaws, or at least starting with a working group to progress in these issues. And I've not seen any initiative from the individuals, and therefore I'm postponing this issue now over months, and I'm waiting until the moment somebody takes over, puts a working group at place, and once the working group is in place, I am ready to support for any sort of consultation, but I'm not taking the initiative again. And therefore, I'm simply postponing this issue to the next monthly call, and let's wait and see whether there will be any sort of follow-up. Questions, comments, suggestions? I see Heidi has raised her hand. Yes, Heidi, you have the floor.
Hi, Olivia. Thank you. Wolf, thank you. Just a question. I know it's not 2012. It's actually 2013 for this issue, but the Euralo GA, when would you like to start planning for that?
I didn't clearly understand your point.
For the Euralo GA to take place at the Eurodig next year, when would you like to start planning that meeting, that event?
Well, let's say if it would will be a face-to-face meeting again, then we have to start earlier than we did for the non-face-to-face. The non-face-to-face we started, let's say, 3 months ahead. A face-to-face meeting would make sense to start, let's say, in February.
Okay, so it is going to be a face-to-face. There is funding.
As far as I remember, for the first time, there was some funding on a limited budget level approved, and we offered by saying, okay, we can suggest that people organize their own flights, what will be reimbursed. We will tell everybody, okay, you have to get to Lisbon on the cheapest level possible. I know there are a lot of EasyJet flights going to Lisbon, and we can organize hotel accommodation.
Yeah, actually, the Euralo event that is going to take place in Toronto was also is being organized on a budget level And they're actually working with constituency travel and with at-large staff on all of that, including the organization of the meetings, the travel, et cetera. And it's working out beautifully. They're below budget. So I would suggest that rather than having everyone book their own flights, et cetera, that you work with us. And Matt can help you. You know, he'll create a database with suggested budget limits, et cetera. You can look into an inexpensive hotel, but then constituency travel can arrange all of that.
Okay, I think these are a very practical procedural issues, and I think this we can figure out by the end of the year, Heidi.
Okay, so we'll maybe make an action item for that if you would like to do that?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay, thank you very much.
I think what we can confirm already, I don't know to what extent it's a final confirmation. We discussed already the date of the next Eurodic at one of our last calls. Sandra, do you have it in mind? I don't have the document at my disposal at the moment. I have it somewhere, but my table is covered with other paper.
Wolf, it's Sandra speaking for the record. I just posted it in the chat room. It's the 6th and 7th of June. It's Thursday and Friday in the first week of June.
Okay. We can, thanks a lot for this info, Sandra. 6th and 7th June, we can note this for the records. This is already an important planning element for us as well. So it would be in line with the next Eurodic, the 6th, 7th of June in Lisbon. And it would be, again, an important date for our community as well. I've seen Rudy's hand raised. Please, Rudy, you have the floor.
Thank you, Wolf. Rudy Vansnick for the transcript. I have a little comment on the point of the individual members. If I'm not wrong, we have actually two individuals being a voting board member. So I'm just wondering, do we need bylaws if we already allow individuals being in the Rollo board? So I think that there is no reason to create more work if they have already their position made available through the existing mechanism.
Thanks a lot, Rudy, for this question, but this is now going back before the Belgrade General Assembly. We always said from the beginning, individuals are well welcomed at the board, and they have, like others on the board level, they have all rights. But if it comes to formal voting procedures, etc., we always had in our bylaws that individuals are not, so to say, legitimized for voting. And therefore, we had to find this solution. And we had a discussion process for more than a year how to find a proper solution for this after consultation with Naralo, who had a similar situation, etc. And Naralo is one of the few Ralos who came up with a solution, and we created or we developed our solution according to the experience of at Naralo. And therefore, there were very strong rules. We had two options. I just want to recall how to deal with the problem. And we do not have the time to restart this, but there was a long discussion, and there was a solid reasoning why this was the only more or less legally justified way which do not invite for any abuse, etc. The most of the discussion was avoiding abuses. I was personally not so much afraid about any potential abuses, but other people were. And therefore we had to come up with this option B. We decided during our bylaw modification, and this option B was asking them to create an ALS, and then within their own ALS they can elect for 1 year or for 2 years their representative for participating at any sort of voting procedure. This was a point 2 years ago, and I think it's still valid. And the solution we found, the pragmatic solution we found at the board level, we could never transfer to the all Uralo level, because there were too many people in our membership saying, well, we do not agree that individuals should have more voting power than organized members. This is partly a phantomic discussion, I agree, but we have to respond to potential objections, and I finally was pleased that we found a solid majority of more than two-thirds of the votes during the bylaw modifications in spring 2011, and I think it makes no sense now to suggest anything else. It was a way it was decided, and it's a similar way it's solved at Naralo. If they want to have a voting right, okay, we simply ask them, please create your own ALS. It's the most simple way. Then once you have some minimal bylaws, you can ask for certification. We will approve your application at the Uralo, and I think there won't be a big discussion at the ALEC level, and then everything is clear. But there must be an initiative from their side. I just want to reaffirm. I just want to remind you we are 20 minutes now beyond the time. I think it was good, because normally the last agenda items like Uralo planning was often shortcutted, and it was opportunity at our today's call to have a really inside discussion with a lot of recapitulation, etc., but I think sometimes contextualization is important. And let me just summarize this agenda item. The first part, how to deal with non-responsive members. There is a proposal on the floor. I will not do anything in a feeling that my community is not standing, or the most active elements of our community is not standing behind it, but I heard approval from Jure. I had also informal discussions with some others of you, and I think in two cases it's a narrow it's a very logical next step, and I'm still open if Heidi in direct contact with Kepka or the Slovenians can avoid any further procedure. I will be pleased to hear, to learn this. But in case we will not get any response after 5 years, I will simply suggest to ask ALEC for the certification. And as I said before, it's not us who will decide. Finally, it will be ALEC who will decide. And I will follow up with Internet.org, with the Swiss ALS, and with Terdefam in Germany. And if there is no reasonable way out inside, then I think we should be consequent again and try to create some sort of example. And of course, I will be pleased to discuss at our next General Assembly face to face, hopefully with a vast majority of our members being present there, about better ways and solutions. But I think in the two cases, we should continue like this. If there are no questions, comments for this summary for the individuals, I think it's clear again. We said it many times, and I think there will be no change until there will be an initiative from their part. Is there anything among any other business? I can imagine there will be an organizational, there will be an announcement from Oksana. Because I know that Oksana, she is on the way to organize the next, the third Ukrainian Internet Governance Forum together with another event in Kiev. And let me suggest to give the floor to Oksana to give us a short briefing about your planning. Please, Oksana, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Wolf. It's Oksana Prikhodko for the record. We really are working on our third IGF UA, and we invited Wolf, Sebastian, Olivier, and some other foreign experts. But as far as this IGF UA is organized for only one day, we would like to give more opportunities for our foreign experts to share worldwide standards for European journalists, Ukrainian journalists, first of all, social media activists and translators. And that is why we organized Forum Media for Information Society. That is why we are waiting for you, and we hope to see you in Kiev, and we need your help. Thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot for this update, Oksana. Are there any questions or comments? I've seen the planning of the Forum Media for Information Society, and I think it's a good concept. And Oksana, I wish you all the best that you will find the necessary support for it. If there are no questions, just let me thank you for your participation and your patience, even for the overtime we took today. But I think it will promote some clarification, especially on the issues on agenda item 7. And as I said before, there will be a mailing regarding the working groups, etc. And I will discuss with at large steps to create a workspace where people can fill in, or we just do it by the mailing list. My experience with the mailing list at the moment, there are not too many responses, but it would be fine if we could find some more people signing up for the empty spaces where we do not have Uralo representation in ELEC working groups. Thanks a lot for your participation, and I wish everybody an excellent rest of the evening. Good night, and hope to see some of you soon. I think the next opportunity will be the ICANN meeting in Toronto. Thanks a lot and good night.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank
good
you.
Night. Bye bye.
Okay.
Good night.
Thanks
thank
a lot.
You.
Bye bye.
Thanks very much, sir. Good call.
Good night.
Bye bye.
Good night.